live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, SEALTA has confirmed they have sought an independent external review of the care provided to three additional patients with cancer of the endometrium who attended the gynaecology service at Letterkenny University Hospital. Political deadlock remains in Northern Ireland as discussions over the continuation of COVID-19 restrictions continues. All 1,500 jobs at Primerica are to be retained with a change in ownership of the company announced today. An Irish water says it wants to proceed with a wastewater treatment scheme in Moville, but a High Court challenge brought by a landowner means it's not possible to say when they will be able to proceed. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport coming up with Oisin Kelly, followed by Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore. But first in news, the HSE has called on people in Donegal to double down in their efforts to reduce the levels of COVID-19. It's the only county with a 14-day incidence rate of more than 300 cases per 100,000. That's over twice the national average, and the HSE's described the situation in Donegal as volatile. Chief Clinical Officer Dr. Colm Henry says people in the county need to make an extra effort to stop the virus spreading.
For the sake of themselves, for the sake of vulnerable groups, for the sake of the hospital there where there's an outbreak, and for the sake of the nursing homes, the congregated settings, all those vulnerable settings we know which are greatly vulnerable to high levels of community transmission.
Another 15 people have died with COVID-19 in Northern Ireland, and there are 548 new cases. 11 of the deaths took place in the past 24 hours. 435 people are in hospital with the coronavirus, with 46 in intensive care. The number of hospital beds occupied in the north has now reached its capacity. Well, the largest health trade union in the north has described as shocking the political deadlock in Northern Ireland over the continuation of COVID-19 restrictions. It emerged today that politicians had been working to the wrong deadline, thinking the restrictions expired at midnight tonight when they actually expire at midnight tomorrow. Trade union Unison warned if restrictions are eased too soon, the health service could be overwhelmed. The union's Anne Speed says the consequences are stark.
It's a debate between the health of the economy and the health of the people. And while we understand there are very serious pressures on the economy, and obviously business people are very worried and concerned, I mean, you know, you won't have a workforce if there's large numbers of them are going to end up seriously ill or dead.
Meanwhile, a TD has called for the army to be placed on the border to stop people from Northern Ireland coming into the Republic. Peter Fitzpatrick says something needs to be done to stop cross-border travel if Northern Ireland decides to end its lockdown this week. Taoiseach Leo Varadkar has said the government has no intention of getting the army involved. But independent TD Peter Fitzpatrick has called for some state intervention.
What you see with this issue at the moment is, and everything you've told me means we need to do something across the border. I come from the north. Then what's going to happen on Friday in the north? It's to start opening up pubs and open up restaurants. You're going to have people flying from the south and the north going across the border. This is going to cause serious, serious problems. And we have to do something about it.
SEALTA has confirmed that they have sought an independent external review of the care provided to three additional patients with cancer of the endometrium who attended the gynaecology service at Letterkenny University Hospital. This is separate to an independent review into gynaecology services at the hospital commissioned in November of 2019. 38 women have already been identified as being impacted by issues at the hospital's gynaecology department, waiting over 100 days for a diagnosis or treatment. Eamon Torsney has more.
In a statement, the SEALTA Hospital Group says one of the three cases has had an external reviewer appointed, and a formal process necessary to appoint an external reviewer for the remaining two cases is underway. They say patients and families involved will be communicated with directly. A special measures team has been put on site since early July to support and oversee the implementation plan to address the recommendations in the report to ensure clear pathways and processes are in place to ensure women are seen, investigated and managed in a timely way. In addition, the hospital group will be ensuring a robust process is in place involving continuous audit and review of performance data. Planning is underway for a new ambulatory gynaecology service to start early next year and for additional gynaecology operative sessions. Clinical validation of waiting lists is ongoing while waiting lists are reducing. A multidisciplinary team meeting has commenced and new patient information leaflets are available. The hospital has restructured its processes for triaging patients and assigning appointments. The recruitment process for additional staff has commenced. Additional gynaecology clinics are taking place weekly and work has begun on commissioning an additional dedicated maternity theatre.
The issue was brought before the Dáil today by Donegal Deputy Piers Doherty. He called on the Taoiseach for a wider review to be sanctioned.
People lost their lives. You know that endometrial cancer, if detected and treated in a proper time, isn't life-threatened, isn't life-ending. But in this scenario, in these cases, and it is clear from the review and LUH and CLTA accept this, that women lost their lives directly as a consequence of the failure of the treatment in that hospital. But not only that, the numbers are staggering. 41 out of 130 cases were delayed diagnosis. One in five of them, over 25, 26, had serious consequences to their health. Some of that consequences were the loss of their life. The report is, what CLTA have done has been flawed, and what the hospital has done has been flawed from the very start. There was a review in 2018 by the National Treatment Purchase Fund. They made 10 recommendations.
Thank you, Deputy.
There was no evidence that any of the recommendations were implemented. There is a lack now of confidence in relation to this service, and that's why there is a demand for a proper independent review into this and to widen it out beyond endometrial cancer. So I'm asking you to take a personal interest in this as well as talking to the Minister.
In responding, Leo Varadkar committed to highlight the issue with the Health Minister.
We've learned too many times in the past that where failings are identified in a particular hospital or a particular service, that it isn't particular to that service, that it's actually a more widespread problem. So we've seen that with other reports in the past. So as well as raising it with the Minister for Health this afternoon, I will take it upon myself to read that report and try to understand it better.
All 1,500 jobs at Primerica are to be retained with a change in ownership of the company announced today. India's Tata Consultancy has agreed to acquire Primerica from insurance giant Prudential Financial. The Primerica Ireland brand will be retained and it will continue to operate in Letterkenny with a global delivery centre to be established. Kieran Harvey is Senior Managing Director with Primerica Ireland.
We've been working on this for quite some time now, and it's a very big deal. As I was saying, the fast-paced change in financial services world meant that we needed to evolve our model and really move from servicing one customer to the opportunity to serve multiple. And given Tata's size and breadth of services, it really is a strong fit to what we do here in Primerica, and the opportunity now to do this for many multinationals is really very exciting for us indeed.
And in terms of this transaction, are there any future plans of expansion or further developments here in Letterkenny and indeed the whole of the North West?
Well, the exciting part of this, is, as we've seen from TCS's announcement, is they're going to create a global delivery centre out of Letterkenny. So I really expect that whenever our organisation embeds down there, that it is going to be fairly exciting and create good opportunities for our employees and the community here going forward. Over the last 20 years, as you all know, Primerica has had a very strong and close relationship to the community at large. And through this project, I've got fairly close with the TCS organisation, and it has delighted me to see that they actually share them same values. So I expect that close partnership with the LYIT, with the community and with our other partners across this region to continue and possibly grow.
Gardaí are continuing to appeal for witnesses following an attempted armed robbery of Clonmany Post Office yesterday evening. At around 5 o'clock, a masked man armed with a weapon entered the premises and demanded money. However, staff set off the alarms and the man fled the scene empty-handed. It's understood that the suspect left the scene in a white vehicle. Inspector Gretty Sheridan is urging anyone with information or dashcam footage to come forward.
He was wearing a black woolly hat, surgical type face mask, dark blue jeans, gloves, dark coloured trousers, dark coloured shoes, and he was holding what appears to be a black handgun in his right hand. We believe he left initially on foot and possibly got into a small white car and headed in the direction of Ballyleffin. Now, the guards were on the scene within 4 minutes. However, this gentleman hasn't been located to date, and really I'm appealing to anybody in the vicinity of Clonmany to, if they've seen anything suspicious around the time, before, during or after, that they might ring Bunkrana Garda Station.
The government has been criticised for trying to appoint a former NAGP lobbyist to the board of the Standards and Public Office Commission. It comes as SIPO is preparing to investigate the leaking by Leo Varadkar of a confidential document to the NAGP. Former Fianna Fáil Senator Geraldine Feeney has been nominated to SIPO by the government, but Sinn Féin's Maria Farrell says she doesn't believe that's appropriate given Ms Feeney's past work for the NAGP.
We are aware that there is a likelihood that SIPO will be investigating this particular matter which relates to the NAGP, so I do think that it is unacceptable that we are seeing a nomination by government with a person that we know was a registered lobbyist for the NAGP.
Irish Water says it wants to proceed with a wastewater scheme in Moville, but a High Court challenge brought by a landowner means it's not possible to say when they will be able to proceed. The town is one of the 8 areas of concern identified earlier by the Environmental Protection Agency where wastewater treatment needs to be prioritised. Colm Claffey is Regional Delivery Lead with Irish Water. He says they have the budget and plan in place, but they cannot proceed until the legal issues are resolved.
In relation to Moville, it is one of those contentious schemes that it seems to always come up. I'm sure the people of Moville are not happy this morning to see that their town is mentioned once again in the Orkney Wastewater Treatment report by DPA. We do live in a democratic society with democratic processes and a planning process. And Moville did receive planning permission for a scheme. And, you know, we need to accept the democratic processes. When we had a public information meeting down in Moville some time ago, the overwhelming majority of the people in Moville were supportive of the scheme, which was very, very encouraging to us. And the message that they gave us was, can you just get on with the scheme? And that is our intention. The current status of Moville, unfortunately, is one of the landowners in Moville, where we intend to build some infrastructure, has taken a High Court case on the scheme. So we have to wait until that case is scheduled by the High Court. We hope it'll happen next year. When that is resolved, we will push on with Moville. We have budgets in place for it and we have a plan in place to resolve it.
Sport on Highland brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Check out the latest Donegal gear online or click and collect at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's almost 5:15 and time now for the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We're going to start with golf. Shane Lowry, 1 over par, 3 holes into his opening round of the Masters. Play was delayed at Augusta by nearly 3 hours due to the weather. Graham McDowell bogeyed his first and sits at 1 over, while both Rory McIlroy and James Sugrue now aren't due to tee off until after 8 o'clock Irish time. It's very, very early days and early hours in the opening round of the Masters, but Xander Schauffele is the leader by 1. He sits at 3 under. In soccer, Waterford have complained to the FAI over the eligibility of Finn Harps defender Shane McElhinney. McElhinney played in Harps' win over Waterford on Monday night, a result which kept the Ballybuffet side safe in the Premier Division, but also meant Waterford missed out on a possible place in the Europa League qualifiers. McElhinney got a yellow card in Harps' defeat to St Pat's and should have served a one-match ban, but the moving of the final series of games also seen the moving of the suspension date, which freed McElhinney to play. Waterford confirmed on their social media that they have lodged a complaint. The matter is with their legal team and no further statement will be made on the matter at this time. Well, Bohemians have confirmed that their management team of Keith Long and Trevor Crowley have signed new contracts. The new deals will take them up until the end of the 2024 season. Republic of Ireland captain Seamus Coleman says there'll be no inferiority complex from the side tonight. They took on an England team which will be packed with players that have played Champions League and Europa League football. Quebec's man Coleman insists there's plenty of quality in the visitor squad.
I would imagine England would be favourites for the game, but I think you've got to have standards amongst yourself. Like, and as I said, believe in yourself. For example, Matt's playing at Tottenham. He's playing at a top team. I'm playing at Everton. It's a top team in the league. We've got players throughout the team playing in Premier League. Aston Villa doing well. Conor Hearn, I know he's not playing at the minute, so we've got to go into it ready to play, ready to fight for the jersey, and full belief that we can get a result.
Kick-off time, of course, tonight for that one is at 8 o'clock at Wembley, where Ireland are chasing a first win over England, of course, since Stuttgart in 1988. They've met six times since. They've all ended in draws as well. Northern Ireland and Scotland can both qualify for Euro 2020 tonight. Former Northern Ireland defender Gareth McCauley believes having fans back in the stadium tonight could make the difference. Just over 1,000 supporters will be in Windsor Park to see the side take on Slovakia. And McCauley says even the small number can propel the players to a higher level.
It makes it feel real. When there's a challenge, there'll be crowd noise. It gives them a little bit butterflies in their belly, a little bit extra, and it will help the game, it will help the players.
Scotland also play tonight, looking to make the Euros there in Belgrade to take on Serbia. Liverpool have confirmed Joe Gomez has undergone successful surgery to repair a tendon on his left knee. The centre-back sustained the injury during a training session with the England squad yesterday. Liverpool say the injury is likely to rule him out for a significant part of the season. Jurgen Klopp is already without Virgil van Dijk for the foreseeable future. In Gaelic games, Paul Taylor has stepped down as manager of the Sligo footballers. He says family commitments, work commitments and the current health crisis are the primary factors in his decision. Taylor added that he was bitterly disappointed that Sligo were forced to withdraw from the Connacht Championship game against Galway due to the COVID-19 outbreak. In athletics, the European Championships will return to Dublin next year. This year's event at the Sport Ireland campus in Abbottstown was cancelled due to the COVID-19 pandemic. European Athletics have confirmed that the same venue will host the cross-country championships on December the 12th, 2021. Turin in Italy will stage the event in 2022 instead of next year. Finally, just looking ahead to tonight on the Score programme, I'll be previewing Donegal against Armagh with Martin McHugh and Brendan Devaney. Plus, we'll hear from County Hurling boss Mickey McCann and Ladies manager Maxie Kern head of their respective games against Tyrone and Waterford. Not forgetting about Donegal boss Declan Bonner as well ahead of that Ulster semi-final. Plus, we start a brand new feature as well ahead of the game with Boys Sports' Leon Blanche. We'll be taking a look at the big sport events this week. That's to come on the Score just after the 7 news, Michaela.
Thanks, Oisin. And finally in news, Donegal International Airport could become involved in a new tourism initiative to link the western seaboard by air. The idea was proposed by John Mulhern, CEO of Kerry Airport, last evening at a meeting of the Oireachtas Joint Transport Committee, which was considering the plight of regional airports in the face of COVID-19. He told the committee that if such an idea were to succeed, a public service obligation designation would be needed. He also confirmed that one airline is interested in pursuing the idea. The chairperson of Donegal Airport, Steve O'Cullen, says such a proposal could be included in a feasibility study that's being commissioned locally.
The Wild Atlantic Way stretches, as we know, from Malin to Missin, so it's there, the road is there, so I'm sure the possibility of going by air should be looked at. We're presently undertaking a feasibility study on trying to increase our routes, and that is something that we can include as part of that study.
Weather now, rain will develop this evening, extending eastwards, and it will be heavy at times. The rain will clear overnight with showers following, some heavy with a risk of hail and lowest temperatures of 3 to 7 degrees. Just to have a look at the closing headlines, the HSE has called on people in Donegal to double down in their efforts to reduce the levels of COVID-19. It's the only county with a 14-day incidence rate of more than 300 cases per 100,000. Meanwhile, the largest health trade union in the north has described as shocking the political deadlock in Northern Ireland over the continuation of COVID-19 restrictions. It emerged today that politicians had been working to the wrong deadline, thinking the restrictions expired at midnight tonight when they actually expire at midnight tomorrow. SEALTA has confirmed that they have sought an independent external review of the care provided to three additional patients with cancer of the endometrium who attended the gynaecology service at Letterkenny University Hospital. This is separate to an independent review into gynaecology services at the hospital commissioned in November of 2019. And Gardaí are continuing to appeal for witnesses following an attempted armed robbery of Clonmany Post Office yesterday evening. At around 5 o'clock, a masked man armed with a weapon entered the premises and demanded demanded money. However, staff set off the alarms and the man fled the scene empty-handed. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. Coming up next is Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore, and we'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. Coming up, we'll hear from Lifford farmer Richard Starrett, who recently won the prestigious overall National Dairy Council and Kerrygold Milk Quality Award. But first, this evening, Chagas in Donegal, Sligo and Leitrim is running a series of webinars aimed at the farming community. The first one, with Gary Fisher and Shane McHugh, focused on cattle, while nutrition was the theme of the second one, with Shane Kilrain and Paul Rigney. Next Tuesday, we'll see the third in the series with John Cannon and Tom Call looking at sheep, and in particular, fluke, worms and parasites. The hour-long broadcast is from 8 to 9pm. In the coming weeks, the other topics to be covered will be greenhouse gas and biodiversity on farms, nitrates, derogations and the new rules next year, TAMS, what you need to know before you build, and finally, updates on various schemes. All the webinars are free, and for more details, you can go to the Chagas website. Lifford farmer Richard Starrett was announced recently as the overall winner of the National Dairy Council and Kerrygold Milk Quality Awards, and the announcement was made live on television. I've been speaking to him about the award and the busy time that he's had since. Congratulations, Richard, and this award, well, it's been dubbed the Oscars of the dairy world, and I suppose that sums it up. You must be delighted.
I'm very delighted now, and very shocked too, that when we were named the winners, because as my wife said to me, I just more or less nearly froze on the sofa when we got the award. Now, there's some very good contestants, other finalists out there, like, and it's just nice for things to come to Donegal.
There was a short list of 11, and normally there would be a big awards ceremony, but because of the times that we're living in and the restrictions, they had to change things this year. So the Late Late Show was the platform, I suppose you could say, for it. And essentially what happened was there was a special 3-minute, almost like an extended break with a video featuring people, and you were named as the winner.
Yeah. That's right. It's a nice way to get it. So many people have seen it and are congratulating us even going forward. Like, we're getting more all the time. Like, what I say about people about it, like, it's nice. This is kind of based on what happened last year in 2019, and like, we went through 2019 just doing normal things the way we wanted to do them, and to get a reward for it. And you never really were looking as if you were trying to go into any competition or anything.
Now, tell us a little bit about the farm. You're in Killindara, just in Lifford, close to the border, and it was, in fact, your grandfather who hailed from Armagh. He purchased the farm you're on now back in the 1930s.
Yeah, that's right, the year my father was born, and my father farmed it then before me, and I took it over in 1994 when my father took the early retirement scheme.
And your father, John, would be known by many farmers, and he was a big figure in the IFA locally and nationally as well, and was keenly involved.
That's right. He served in a lot of committees, and he was the chairman of Donegal IFA back in the 80s.
And then he also became very much involved in the Donegal Local Development Company and leader, and has been active since.
Very active, and very happy too that we've won the award. And
I'm sure, and indeed, and likewise, your mother, Audrey, again, somebody who was very active down through the years in community groups and initiatives.
Yeah, that's right.
So tell us a little bit about the farm and
We farm, we milk up 160 cows here, high EBI, Holstein Friesian cows. When we're picking bulls for breeding, like, we pick for the ones with good milk solids and fertility and health and all, to have a good cow going forward. We're trying our best to eliminate a lot of antibiotics use at drying off. That was always a thing in the past, like, for this last 30, maybe more years, of whenever you're drying off a cow to give them antibiotics when you dry, or you're drying them off when you stop milking them, like to give them a rest before they calve. And we started this last 3 years, and we've cut down now. We're only giving 20% of the herd we're getting antibiotics. It's just to stop the, this, what's out there now, the antibiotic resistance. It's a big thing in animals and humans, and to try and cut that out as much as possible now in the farm going forward.
Mm. And the finalists, you were judged on a number of things, sustainable farming practices, milk quality, technical knowledge, animal welfare, etc. And I presume it was quite a rigorous process. So the fact that you came through and were the winner, you certainly must have ticked a lot of boxes.
Yeah, I must have now. It was nice now to go to all the bar. What we did go to this last few months and get there, it was just actually the judges read just the day before Donegal went into the lockdown. So if we had been in the lockdown, the judges told me they wouldn't have been able to come. So we mightn't have got this far in the competition.
Now, you made a big focus of sustainability. It's something that's very important to you.
It definitely is. One thing is put solar panels on one of the roofs of one of the sheds back in 2018. And that's been all, that electric's all been used, like in the yard and all, in heating water and pumping water, and it's cutting the electric bill down big time every year.
And tell me a little bit about all the other finalists, different dairy co-ops represented nationwide. So you're a supplier to Arrivo.
That's right. I would just like to thank Arrivo for nominating me for this award. Whenever the first time they asked me, I said, you sure now you want to ask me? Because you can always ask somebody better, and the more or less said to me, there is nobody better. So that was really tough to hear that.
And you have won a number of other awards as well in the past.
Yeah, I won the Arrivo award this year, I won the Sustainability Award, and I won the overall Arrivo Quality Milk Award.
And this one comes with the nice little prize of €5,000 and a trophy. And let's not forget, it was a big family effort. Your wife, Wendy, and your three kids, David, that's Holly, right, and John, all playing their part.
Yeah, definitely. And as well, I got a full-time workman too, David Blackburn. And as I said to him, like, it wouldn't have happened either if he wasn't here to help me do all the work.
So looking to next year, and let's hope that the whole COVID outbreak is something that becomes something from the past. How do you see next year going? Have you any particular plans once we get out of this current difficult situation?
Well, farming-wise, probably just trying to keep on breeding for better cows, and just keeping the farm going, changing some infrastructure on it to make things handier, things like that, and just maintaining, make sure we don't pollute any water and fencing off waterways. And
the dairy herd nationally has, of course, expanded considerably in recent years. Would you be pretty upbeat about the outlook for the dairy sector?
Yeah, I would be. Things look good. Like, I think we've had the beginning of this year, we're going to get a hammering on the price now, but it held fairly well. It slipped a bit. There's plenty of demand for dairy products out there. Arrivo have the amount of throughput they have now in their plant in Killigordon is serious. Like, putting out the top, some of the top quality product in the world, like the milk from grass red milk, and I think it's a good time for dairy farming. Mm-hmm.
And finally, Richard, on account of winning this coveted award, you have certainly had a lot of your time taken up by the media, radio stations, newspapers, television. You've attracted a lot of interest.
Yeah, definitely have now, and there's from all around the country. There are people phoning and texting and asking me what I've done to get here and why. And with all those questions to answer, and hopefully people will benefit out of what they've heard. Like, so.
Yeah, and I suppose overall the secret to the success, hard work, planning, and good people around you.
Yeah, hard work, yes, right. And we have our EBA of our dairy herd is in the top 1% in the country too, which means a lot at producing some of the best quality milk.
And that was Richard Starrett, who won that coveted National Dairy Council and Kerrygold Milk Quality Award. Meanwhile, the IFA Deputy President Brian Rush is calling on the Minister for Agriculture, Charlie McConnellogue, to implement the recommendations of the independent review of the Department Appeals System as a matter of urgency. The review was carried out and published back in 2017. It includes a recommendation to establish a new appeals panel with an independent chairperson and to include a farmer nominee. Mr. Rush acknowledged the commitment in the recent programme for government to establish the panel, but he says that action is needed to make it happen. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
The obituary notice is for this Thursday evening, November the 12th. The death has taken place of Marie Casey, Nick Christie, 133 Laurel Drive, Strabane, and formerly of 53 Donibow Road, Donemana. Fiona leaving her home on Saturday morning at 9:20 for Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church, Killeany, Donemana at 10:00, interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral will be private to family only, please. The death has taken place of Anna Cutliffe, Four Winds, Ludden, Buncrana. Remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there at 9:20 on Saturday morning, going to St Mary's Church, Cock Hill, for Requiem Mass at 10:00, with burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the wake and funeral are private to family only, please. Requiem Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv/Cock Hill. The death has occurred of John Bob Foy, formerly 286 Art McCarran, Ballybuffet. Funeral arriving at the Church of Mary Immaculate Stranorder on Saturday morning for Requiem Mass at 11:00, with cremation afterwards at Lakelands Crematorium Cavan. Donations in lieu of flowers, if so desired, to ICU, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member. In compliance with current HSE and government guidelines, the house and funeral will be strictly private to the immediate family. Families only, please. And the death has occurred of Mary Crawford, 42 Cheshire View, Ballybuffet. In accordance with HSE and government guidelines, the wake and funeral are private to family and close friends. Mary is reposing at her family home, 317 Arbathan St Johnston. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:15, going to St Bathan's Church St Johnston for 11:00 Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desire to the Oncology Unit, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member or Kelly's funeral directors.